Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Thy grace alone, O God, to me can pardon speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can this sore bondage break. Reading from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Let's give thanks for this new and living way in Christ. Let's pray that it will be applied to us in a mighty way. Once again, in the church being revived in these blessings, and the world being awakened to them, as on the day of Pentecost, when we read, as many as gladly received the word were baptized. Let's pray for such a time again. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, giving thanks in His name for every blessing given. We pray that Thou would open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to see these blessings as they are, and that they are all in and because of Christ, who paid that awful price on the cross, becoming a curse for us, dying, shedding His blood in our stead. We pray, Father, because of Him, Thou wilt now send Thy Spirit to take these things of Christ and show them to us, also that He might reprove us of sin and righteousness and judgment, that He might revive the church, that we might have all this that is already in Thy Word. And we think of the many promises in Thy Word, promises to Adam, promises to Abraham and David and others. And we pray for them to be fulfilled in our time, both to Jew and to Gentile, that those among whom Thou wast born, Lord Jesus, might rightly recognize and believe that Thou hast come and hast been a fulfillment of what was promised. We pray, Father, for the need of the church who has believed, that it might be made again a salt and a light in our nation and every nation, and how desperately we need it in our nation, how we need it for our homes, that the church might lead the way. Thou hast said, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. And we have, I fear, much of that. And we pray that we might see it in repentance, that we might see it then in faith and obedience to come away from it and to be alive to Thee and dead to sin. We pray, Father, for these blessings first of all, as Thou, Lord Jesus, has told us to seek first Thy kingdom and Thy righteousness, that all these things might be added. We pray that Thou wilt lead us into that with a mighty way for Thy glory and for our good and the good of our neighbors. We pray, Father, also giving thanks for the temporal blessings that we have, for the sunshine and the rain, the peace and the freedom that is ours, when many others do not have these blessings and are suffering. We pray for those in hunger, the homeless, the persecuted, the war-torn lands, the many other calamities. We pray for those in sickness and injury. Pray that there might be healing, if it could be Thy will. Pray also for those that must remain in this sickness through life. They might have grace to bear under it, to learn through it the brevity of life and the need to prepare for death. We pray, Father, for the other needs, the broken homes. We pray for the children in those homes. We pray that the church might be made to teach Thy word, what Thou hast joined together. Let not man put asunder. We pray for all these blessings and give thanks, praying for our government, our police, our soldiers, for those in need, and that we will come back to the faith of our fathers through Christ. Amen. Leading into the way of sanctification, we have seen the vivid description of sin in the last part of the first chapter, the second chapter, the earlier part of the third chapter, and the deliverance, the way of the fourth chapter by faith, giving not only the way, the teaching, but also two examples. In chapter 4, both Abraham and David. Abraham believing in God who justified the ungodly. David stating, and Paul quoting from David, from the Psalms, even as David described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And then Paul asked the question, cometh this blessedness on the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness, and it was reckoned before he was circumcised, and he was promised that in his seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. And you and I, whoever you are, can be blessed, being one of the family that can be blessed and Abram's seed, which is Christ. Christ Jesus, the Lord. Christ the Anointed One, Jesus the Savior, and He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we must hear that He must be our King in what is described here in this sixth chapter. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Christ came down to earth to live, to die, to rise again, and went back and sat on the right hand of the Father till His enemies should be made His footstool. David already spoke of it 1,000 years before Christ came down to earth. We should be the ones that are made His footstool. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? How terrible to dishonor Him in heaven above, those that claim to be His children, those that claim His death and resurrection for their justification. The answer Paul gives here very plainly in the second verse, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's what takes place in repentance. Paul will state in the next chapter, he was alive without the law once. When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Paul died to any other hope than in Christ, died to all that he was before that, the way of covetousness, and very likely the way of pride. All that has to die in repentance, die to any wrong thoughts that we have before God of who He is and who we are, joining with Abraham, who believed in Him who justified the ungodly, joining in what Paul states here of Christ. While we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's who we died for, you and me and Abraham. Not like God, not holy with Him. Ungodly, unholy, that's us. Many times, especially when we are brought up in the church, we think we are more holy than those on the outside or those in the world. It is true sometimes there is more washing of the outside the cup, but that does not change the heart. It can even make the heart worse. It can make us, what Christ describes many in His day, hypocrites, whited sepulchers, terrible. He said it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for Capernaum, that had had much of the works of Christ and much of His teaching. So we have a much different picture spiritually than we think naturally. I know what it's like to think I'm all right because I'm as good as the rest. Certainly, I'm a Christian, all by my works, by who I was, what I was doing. Yes, knowing about Christ, having historic faith, but not repentance toward God and being humbled, not faith in Christ, being saved by Him. For those many years, I did not know I had to be saved. I did not know the real reason why Christ came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He states it very plainly, both to those in His day and to us as well. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And as He gives us not only teaching, but also example in the parables and the stories, the story of the good shepherd going after the one in the wilderness, that there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over the 99 that need no repentance. Giving an outward example, because all do need repentance, but the 99 who do not know they need repentance. And that was true of most of Abraham's physical seed. They had to be reproved by John the Baptist and as well taught by Christ. And later Paul could say, I have continual sorrow and heaviness for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, that they might be saved. We will see that in the following chapters in this letter here of Paul to the church at Rome. he will refer not only to the Gentiles, but also to his fellow brethren, the Jews. Chapter 9, chapter 10 especially. Already he had stated earlier in the third chapter what advantage then hath the Jew and what profit is there in circumcision, much every way, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. They had the scriptures, and it was of that descendants of Abraham that wrote the scriptures, Moses and all the others, all from that descendants of Abraham. What a blessing they had, prophets among themselves. But, as Christ said, which of the prophets have not your fathers killed and stoned those that were sent unto you? If we get time, we'll refer to Stephen, one of the prophets among them who later was stoned, referring to what they had done in previous generations, and the present generation was sadly doing the same. Where are we today in comparison to those that Paul grew up with, was one of, and had to be taught to come out of it and to come back to God as the lost sinner in repentance, call upon the name of the Lord, and have his sins forgiven? And that's what he has spoken of. He will speak of it more in the 7th chapter. And here he's speaking to those who had experienced that, who had been in that number, described in the first verse of the 5th chapter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by believing on another. Nothing that we did. Nothing. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. We sang the song, not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Nothing. It's all from God. All because of Christ. The new birth, then, repentance, faith, obedience, all from God. All not only paid for by the death of Christ, but brought about by the Spirit of Christ, or the Holy Spirit taking the things of Christ and both showing them to us and giving them to us. We'll read more of that in the 7th and the 8th chapters. Here, referring again to the beginning, as he did in other places, justified by faith, and then many saying, if we believe that, people will be careless. People will say, we don't have to obey God. As I said before, those that are taught by God, by the Holy Spirit, those that have the new birth, as Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then as well, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus told him and us with it, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that you must be born again. When we have that which is of the Spirit, then the flesh must die, must be recognized as what the flesh is. And as Paul says of himself, writing to another church, that is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and not in my flesh either, and yours. He said, the flesh striveth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do those things that you would. And that's a struggle. Paul brings that out, especially in the next chapter. Cries out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Speaking of the things that he wants to do but doesn't accomplish it, Paul is teaching so we will do it rightly from the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, and particularly the Spirit of Christ, which we read, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he has none of his. So it is the Spirit that has brought us to have the flesh die. Shall we that are dead to sin, no hope in sin, no hope in our proud ways, that's sin, and no hope in having our life's enjoyment in sin anymore. We must recognize that the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, are not of the Lord. They are of the world, and they are against God. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. John tells us in his epistles. Here, Paul speaks of those in their beginning, shall we that are dead in sin and knowing it, like he did himself in the next chapter, going back to their experience of picturing dying. Yes, picturing it. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. There are those who say that this has nothing to do with the ordinance of baptism. It is the spiritual picture. Yes, the spiritual must take place. We must die spiritually. We must die inwardly. It will have its effect in rising to newness of life by faith, a faith that worketh by love. The best picture of what has worked inside is the picture that we experience then outwardly, being buried with him in baptism. It pictures so wonderfully what happens. One that is baptized is taken and buried in the water, dead. He's no longer there. You can't see him. Then, coming out of the water, is a picture of rising to newness of life. He is giving the testimony, or she is giving the testimony, that she has died to the old way, died to self, died both to sin and to any hope in self. Only in Christ and rising to newness of life in him. Yes, it must happen spiritually. It must then be pictured in the ordinance. It is the first command of Christ given to the believer. Believe and be baptized. Christ said that must be taught to every creature. And with the promise that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He left those words with the apostles, as Mark records them. Here, the teaching of baptism, buried with him by baptism, and we have the same teaching the second time, as Paul writes to the Colossians, somewhat later. There we read of the new birth in Christ, the same as we read of circumcision in Romans chapter 2, the circumcision of the heart. And Paul, writing to the Colossians, he states of Christ, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, who Christ is, and then what he does in us, as well as what he has done for us. But here it's in us, in whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. It gives a picture both of the new birth done by the Spirit and then a picture of the working out in repentance, putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. It would never be done without the new birth, without regeneration, without made alive in and together with Christ. Not by hands. He's not talking about the circumcision of the Old Testament that multitudes had in the letter, of which Paul said earlier in Romans chapter 2, he is not circumcised, which is one circumcised outwardly, but whose circumcision is of the heart. And that's what Paul is writing here to the Colossians. The heart has been circumcised, and that will affect the body as well. And then having that, having the new birth, having repentance, then comes baptism. Paul says in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. It is God's word and God's spirit that brings us to die. As Paul said, and I died. It is God's Word and Spirit that brings us to life in Christ. Sometimes the new birth is described as by the Spirit. Sometimes it is also described by the Word, as James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 18. Of His own will begot He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. There the emphasis is on the Word. In other places, the emphasis is on the Spirit, by both. The Word and Spirit, as it was in Thessalonica, where Paul said, we came not in word only, but in power, with the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, all by the work of the Spirit accompanying the Word. And that's what must take place, and that's what did take place here at Colossae. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. It speaks of the new birth. It speaks of the pardon that we receive by faith when we know we are saved and God has forgiven us. Paul says, now should we sin then, knowing that? Those that were baptized, Paul reminds them of that. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? He was speaking of something that they knew had taken place. They had professed it before others. They had made the witness before the world. I am dying to myself, to the world, to my sin, to the body, to the flesh. And I want to rise with newness of life in Christ and show it in the picture so wonderfully given by baptism. There are those who speak against this. I know there are some who do not want to acknowledge the way of baptism, even though it's spoken of in these two places very plain, and other places as well. When we think of Christ coming out of the water, when we think of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch going into the water and then coming out of the water, in some places we only read they were baptized without any detail of how or what manner it took place. Here we have the picture. Other places we have the reference to it. So we have the teaching. There are some who would say they couldn't be baptized in the Jordan. It was too swift and too cold. When we read that Christ came out of the water, what must we believe? The Scripture or those who speak against it? We must believe the Scripture. We are saved by believing the Scripture in repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, how we need to believe it today, that we come short of the glory of God in the church, that the church will repent as it did at Corinth, and that we will again be a salt and a light before the nation in so many different ways, in the church, in the home, and not a light under a bushel, but a light to government leaders, a light to those round about us through Christ.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise